Hey everyone, Dane here with Minton Light Photography, and welcome to another episode of Focus In, your photography podcast where we talk about all things photography, from cameras and lenses to software and editing, and all of those fun things that happen to us in between. Welcome to another day, whether you're listening to this at the end of the week, on a Friday, or in the middle of the week to get over that hump. Thanks for joining me again. It's been a super busy week. As you know, last week was my first wedding shoot, a great way to kick off the 2024 season. As I've mentioned multiple times that I've been trying to get into weddings, and so that's super exciting. I'm excited about where that's going to go this year. The other thing, like last minute, I kid you not, even 30 minutes ago, I just got a phone call from a former place of work, and I know for a fact that they have a staff photographer that works there. They called me, my photography business, not because I used to work there or because I had any connections, but they found my photography business and they needed someone last minute for an event that they're doing. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. It's actually later on today. So I'm excited about that, to go and visit my former place of work. And I'm glad that they found me through different means. And I'm just super excited to go do that for them. But today's episode, we're actually going to focus on the, I'm going to call it, let's say, five like worst things that could happen to a photographer, and then also how to avoid them. I'm going to try and offer some helpful tips in that area. There are a number of different things that can go wrong when you're out shooting or with clients, with your camera and equipment, things that can happen after the fact. We've all heard those like dreaded horror stories of people shooting, an event or some type of session, and then their memory cards, breaking on them or just not working. They can't recover files. Like the absolute worst possible things that could happen to us as photographers. In some cases, like business ruiners, right? We could even call them that, but hopefully that's not the case for any of you. It's definitely never been the case for me as of yet, but we're going to talk about some things so that hopefully if any of these ever come up, then, you're well prepared ahead of time. So the first thing I want to talk about is just equipment theft or damage to your equipment, rather. This could be your camera, your lenses, flashes, tripods, stands, whatever it is. There's all kinds of, unfortunate things that can happen to your camera equipment. And so there are a couple things you can do to, make sure that this doesn't negatively affect your business. One of those things is getting insurance for all of your gear. I can't emphasize this enough. And for a long time, I was like kind of against insurance because the only insurance I ever knew, especially when I was younger growing up, was just car insurance, right? And it's like you spend all this money every month, every year, however you have your payments set up. And, typically you never have to use it. It's not really until you do that you appreciate it. But at the same time, you also hope that you never have to use it. It's same thing. And when it came time, once I set my business up, my photography business, insurance on my cameras and all my equipment for that matter, was one of the first things that I set up because I knew that things can happen. People get crazy. I get clumsy sometimes. Accidents happen, right? And you just don't want something stupid like dropping equipment, because that can completely ruin your camera or equipment or lenses or whatever. Just a simple dropping it on the ground. And you don't want that to be the reason that your business goes under, right? And so get insurance on your gear. The other thing is, if you travel a lot, so for me, I don't have a studio or anything like that. So all of my work is done on site, on location, traveling around. And so I would highly suggest investing in some sturdy camera bags. There are a number of different bags at this point out there. You can go on Amazon and find anything, but I would strongly recommend steering away from like the really cheap, or let's not even call it cheap. Let's just call it affordable because I don't like the word cheap, but the really, really affordable bags. A lot of times the materials aren't that great. The straps aren't that great. Stitching can come undone. Zippers aren't the best. And hopefully you don't learn the hard way and like your camera goes flying when you go to rip it out of your car. And I've done this, by the way. Luckily, I think it was into some grass and not a huge deal, but it was because I forgot to zip my bag. But this can happen with less expensive gear and bags. So I would just say definitely make sure and try and invest in something that's a little sturdier. And then the other thing is a lot of times when you're out shooting, especially if you're doing like weddings and events, you know, I do this too. I just did it last weekend where I'll have like a battery or two charging somewhere. I try and find like a safe spot near one of the other vendors or near the bar or something. And I'll usually talk to somebody there and say like, hey, is it okay if I plug this in here or leave this bag here? Because you want access to your backup stuff in case you need it without having to like run out to your car. But leaving your equipment unattended is definitely a risky business. It's one of the reasons why you want to have insurance, of course, for theft or damage. But then at the same time, you do also want to pay careful attention and just be aware of your surroundings. If you are going to leave your stuff somewhere, make sure you talk to the people who either own the business or the location, if it's somebody's house, you know, that you're shooting at, and just get the okay. That kind of adds in that extra layer of protection and just that they know that you put your stuff there because you requested it. And so if somebody's kind of wondering like, what's this stuff just kind of hanging out here, these extra batteries or something, or this bag, hopefully they'll kind of help combat anyone wanting to move it even, right, to a space that you don't know where it is. So last thing, if you can, and this is not always the case, but if you can, try to avoid shooting in risky areas. Now, if you rewind back like 10 episodes or something, I spoke about a very risky situation that I shot in. It was a fun episode where I talked about some real estate photography that I did that ended up being just super sketchy. Great episode. Go check that out if you haven't yet. But what I learned from that, and this is just an FYI for all of you photographers out there, don't shoot in risky areas or situations, or try to avoid it if you can, right? Or at least take the necessary precautions, like having insurance, so that you don't get your equipment either messed up or taken, right? Goes without saying. So that's the first thing. The next thing I want to talk about is data loss. Like I said, one of the, I think, like worst nightmares that you can have as a photographer is you go through a whole day or an event or a session or whatever it is, and you leave at the end of the day, you get home and maybe go to back up your cards onto, you know, another location, a hard drive, external hard drive, or your computer, or whatever you use, and your files won't show up or they're gone. This is the absolute, in my mind, this is like the worst thing that could happen, even worse than your gear breaking or something afterwards. I don't know why I think like that, but it's one of my worst fears, just having like your data be lost and you cannot recover it. And there is all kinds of recovery software out there now and ways to get your information back, but it's just a scary thought. It's something I don't like thinking about. And so in order to help combat this, there are a couple things you can do. One is invest in just recovery software so you have it on hand in case you do ever need it. The other thing is to always back up your files regularly. I would suggest investing in, depending on how much shooting you do, a handful of just external hard drives that you can constantly back up your cards to. Most people will be like, this is kind of overkill. It's also kind of expensive, you know, depending on the hard drives you're getting. But at the end of the day, if you are ever in a situation where you actually did lose your data, you'll go back kicking yourself because it was a really simple fix. And to spend an extra $30, $40, $50, $100, whatever, at some point in time to avoid that, it's absolutely worth it. You never really want to rely on one storage unit or device, like your memory cards alone. this is a reason why it's such a big, it's actually kind of controversial that you should shoot a wedding with a camera that has dual card slots. I am now and forever moving forward fully in support of if you're going to do wedding photography, you need to have a camera that has dual card slots. And this is something that, you know, associate photographers, lead photographers post when they post looking for like second shooters. They always list this as like a main bullet point, must have dual card slots. And the reason for that is because if you lose your data, if you lose that information from, you know, somebody's wedding day, that has the potential to ruin your entire business, right? That could tarnish your reputation to the point that it's hard to come back from. And so hopefully none of you have experienced this, at least not on like a wedding day where it can't be redone. If you have, I can't say I feel for you, but you know, I can empathize a little bit. But don't let it happen. You know, make sure you back up your stuff, use card or cameras with two cards, purchase external hard drives and back up your data all the time. Never keep it in just one place and hope that it's going to stay there and live there and be totally fine. The next big thing, and this is also one of the probably, I don't know if it's more rare or not, but legal issues. So there are a number of different legal issues that can come up with photography. I would say that most of them probably revolve around like having the proper permits for shooting in certain locations, being aware of like copyright laws. If you're shooting with like models and things like that, make sure you get model release forms when you're photographing those people. Just make sure you're educated on the legal side of photography in different contexts. I'll say that the permits for certain areas is the only thing I have personal experience in. And this was never a legal issue. It never got to this point, thankfully. And I spoke about this in, you know, a previous episode, but I was on a location one time for a senior photo shoot, and it was at a public place that did allow photography, but didn't allow professional photography. And it was kind of up to them to decide where that line was. You know, they don't necessarily know that, you know, you spent a few thousand dollars on your camera and lens setup, but if you're walking in with like a tripod and a softbox and external lighting and stuff like that, then they're probably going to flag you. And that's exactly what happened to me. I had a backpack with like some big like white light reflectors just kind of hanging off my backpack because I didn't have anywhere else to put them. They unfolded and even got bigger. And then I had the camera, of course. And I think the person that ended up pulling up on their golf cart, the security for the area, just said that they don't allow for professional photographers. And at the time for me, I believe that it was a free photo shoot that I was offering for this particular situation. And I basically just said, you know, this isn't for commercial use. There's no payment happening. This isn't a professional photography, you know, for advertising or anything like that. And technically I was telling the truth. Even though I was a, you know, quote, professional photographer. But in that particular instance, I wasn't really saying something that wasn't true. So I was okay with it personally. And, ultimately he ended up being okay with it and just made it known that, you know, he doesn't want to see a bunch of equipment and stands and things like that, which I totally get. You know, you want to keep the piece in an area and have it be, you know, friendly to everybody. So legal issues, definitely try and avoid those. Be aware of where you're shooting. If you do need permits and things like that, make sure you call and check ahead of time. Usually it's more with like private residences and privately owned places like that. But public places from time to time will have rules when it comes to photography. So it's always good to just go and check. Most of them are listed on the website. And usually even there's a contact person that you can get in touch with, and you can probably get the okay ahead of time. And it's definitely worth doing that. All right. So that brings us to our next point here on the worst things that could happen to a photographer and how to avoid them. And that is client disputes. I have not yet had a, what I'll say, a real dispute or argument or anything like that with any of the clients I've worked with. And I'm sitting here like crossing my fingers, knocking on wood, because I know at some point in time, you know, when you work in a business like this where you're serving the public, you're going to have issues at some point. Thankfully, I have not yet. I've had some clients come back and make like multiple follow-up requests for some of the work that I did when it comes to like editing and things like that, but it was never anything that we were in disagreement of or they were unhappy with, anything like that. They just wanted more and more and more. But because client disputes do exist and because reviews exist, and as photographers, this is like our lifeblood when it comes to, you know, getting new business and being reputable, you want to avoid any bad media or attention as often as you can. And so there are a few things that you can do. One of those, the main one, is go into whatever, you know, photography session, event, anything that you're shooting as a professional photographer, as a business, with clearly outlined expectations. And this is why photographers use contracts. You want to communicate openly with your clients and make sure that everything's, you know, delivered promptly and professionally. And then you want to address any issues or concerns, you know, proactively so that you can avoid the mess that could potentially come up later. Again, 99.9% of this can be in your contract as a photographer, whether you shoot weddings or family photo sessions or events or whatever it is. Just be clear and outline what the expectations are, and make sure you speak with your clients too and understand that, because it's not like we can't tailor contracts and in language to fit the client's needs. I think that's part of, you know, being a good business person, just being a little bit flexible and being able to adjust so that you can meet your client's needs, right? And so when it comes to like timelines, how you're going to deliver your photos, you know, cost, pricing, of course, things like that, just make sure you outline all of that ahead of time in your contract, and you will probably never have issues. I'd say it's pretty rare that you do have issues, but again, you work in a customer service type position, you know, you can't please everybody all the time forever, right? We all know that. But there are ways to avoid it. And so those are some of the ways you can do that. That brings us to our last point here, you know, of things that can happen and that you can try to avoid. And that is, you know, injuries and accidents. You want to practice, this sounds so basic, but safe shooting techniques. You know, you want to be aware of your surroundings. I spoke about a time where I was shooting in a home and they had like dogs barking, and I knew that like there were dogs that could probably injure me or injure my equipment, even worse, right? If you're me. And you just want to be aware of your surroundings. Consider getting liability insurance. This is a big one. Kind of goes with like theft and damage. When you're thinking about insurance, why not throw some liability in there as well? And then really it's just about taking any necessary precautions when you are shooting in places that might be a little sketchy, or at times, depending on the type of photography work you're doing, they could even be hazardous, right? Hopefully that's not the case, but if you're like a photojournalist or something out there and you're shooting for like the news and you're covering, you know, some crazy stuff, or, you know, I don't know what you're into, what kind of events or people you're working with, but you just want to be aware of your surroundings and the type of shooting you're doing. So that kind of brings us to the end of our, you know, the five worst things, at least that I have on my list here, that could happen to you as a photographer, and some of the ways that you can mitigate those or avoid them. Hopefully the majority of you will never have issues like that. I think for me, the biggest issue I have is just being a part-time photographer and making sure that I meet different deadlines. And I haven't had any issues yet, but it definitely takes a lot of work to meet the deadlines. And they're more of internal deadlines that I set myself. Right now, I don't currently have a contract that gives an exact deadline. It's more of a loose deadline. And that's for me at this point in time. But once I think work picks up and, you know, as I get especially more into the wedding side of things, you know, I expect that that will change and it'll turn into a little bit more of a rigid timeline. And I think couples will appreciate that as well, because, you know, people expect certain things and they don't like uncertainty and just waiting and wondering. So it's good to have that stuff in a contract. But yeah, other than that, I hope you guys have a great weekend ahead if you're listening on a Friday when I'm recording this. If not, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I will see you all in a couple of days. You guys have a good one.